You are listening to the Doug Hagmann Radio Show, weekdays 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And now the man behind the mic, a private investigator with over 30 years under his belt, Doug Hagmann.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6 a.m. on the West Coast of America, 9 a.m. here in the East. Welcome to Hagmann. It's the Doug Hagmann Investigative Hour for today. It's Monday, March 19th, 2018. Thanks for joining me this morning. Got a lot of stuff to get into. This is the first broadcast after the Friday news of McCabe being kicked to the curb. This is a good thing. Go back to my Friday show that the headline begins bombshell and understand, if you want context of what is taking place today, that's the show to listen to. It's I don't have the note right here in front of me which broadcast it is. I believe it was a week ago this past Friday. Again, the first word in the title is bombshell. Prosecutor working with IG Horowitz, with Inspector General. And this is the result of what is coming. This is the end of the beginning. This is the end of the administration, the Donald Trump administration, taking the incoming. And remember, I had spoken deeply about response versus reaction. You know, you react to something, it's usually not a good thing. You have to respond to things as opposed to react. And this is where now I can see that the game is changing. In fact, I spent the entire weekend working the entire weekend speaking with really three different kinds of people, I guess. Number one, lawyers. Even lawyers. I was talking to lawyers about one thing, and I'm going to speak about a very symbiotic relationship between what's going on, that you need to know about, and what's the level of exposure that's coming out with respect to the criminal cabal. There's an extremely important symbiotic relationship that exists. But so I spent time speaking with on the telephone and even in person with lawyers this weekend. Second thing is I've spent time speaking with FBI agents, plural. That's two. It's more than one. That is two specific sources within the FBI. One within the main justice, Department of Justice. Off the record, of course, but with the allowance of providing you some off the record information for what it's worth, and some very interesting things to expect. So I'm going to reveal that, the contents of that, those conversations in this episode. And thirdly, I spent a lot of time in investigation and research, both open source and taking the information I received from the second group, the FBI and Main Justice, and putting that together with some open source communications, news stories and what have you. So together, this paints this is a mosaic that fits nicely. And from this, we are able to see, at least I believe right now, I'm able to put together some of the pieces to present to you as to what is going to be happening over the next couple of weeks, well, even days, weeks, and within the months ahead. Going to be very rocky, and how this all affects our representative republic. It affects you personally. It affects me personally. It affects all of us nationally, on a national level. But even if you're listening to this, regardless of whatever country you might be listening to this, whether it's in Europe or Australia, New Zealand, wherever, this will affect you as well, because there is this machine known as the deep state. It is not national. It is not just fixed to the United States. No, it is worldwide. It is global. And these people are global actors, acting in concert with one another. And of course, the divisions, if you will, if there are divisions, would be, you know, the United States and then, of course, the European aspect of things. But all of this is working together. And I've never, ever, ever approached a program with more certainty than I am today. So buckle up. Please listen to this entire program. There may be a couple of sound clips. I have a couple ready here in queue. Perhaps we'll get to those. Maybe not. But the information that you're about to hear in this program is so extremely important for all of us, because whether or not, again, it doesn't matter. You could be listening to this and just working a what I call a normal job, that I have, and just normal jobs, normal people doing what normal people do. But we are still, nonetheless, participants on this battlefield, whether we want to be participants or not. We're still involved in this war, and the things that you and I do will determine our future and our fate, and also the fate and future of our grandchildren, our children, the people that we will leave behind, and what type of world we will leave them. And I don't want to sound melodramatic or overly dramatic, but the fact of the matter is, our republic is at a crossroads, and I'm just in awe at how our founding fathers had structured our representative republic to really survive in times like we're seeing right now. So all of this together. But of course, the big news, of course, that we're going to be seeing a lot more of is the firing of Andrew McCabe, the one-time acting FBI director. The one-time acting FBI director, and really the main guy under Comey at FBI. What this means, both the overt signs, the obvious, but then there's this underpinning of information here that we're going to get into that is so important, because what is taking place right now is really the takedown, systematic takedown of the criminal cabal that in my view, the criminal cabal that is the Clinton machine, the Obama machine, but larger than that, the leftist or the progressive fascists, the leftist in power, those people, and those who are in permanent positions within our federal government, within our state governments, and even our local governments to a lesser extent, how they're all working together to take down, to fundamentally change our representative republic into a communist utopia. And I mentioned books. Look, there's so many historical books that you could read, topical to what to what I'm speaking of today. I would urge everyone to grab the following titles, and not necessarily in the order that I give them. Anything by M. Stanton Evans. You've heard me speak of him before. Blacklisted by History is what I would consider his magnum opus. And then, of course, you have Sidney Powell, a former federal prosecutor licensed to lie. Oh, my goodness. You get done reading that book, you want to shower, and then shower again. But she does a great job in really laying out a number of things within justice. What we're seeing today kind of come to light. And, of course, American Betrayal by Diana West, closely associated with the information written by M. Stanton Evans. The other ones, in fact, we've had David Kapelian on, a great author, on our nightly program, the flagship show, The Hagmann Report. And some other books, but there you've got the three books anyway, or three authors that you can research for homework, for background, because all of this is so important. What has happened in the post-World War II era within the United States, it's all coming to fruition today. And this is so critical to understand, because right now we've got a struggle. We are struggling right now against the wiles of the devil, in my view. We're struggling against the evil that has permeated every aspect of our government. Absolutely incredible. So the aspects that we're seeing, of course, with McCabe, with Comey, with all of the usual suspects that you could actually take their pictures and put on a clear, or translucent window, if you will, if you were in a squad room or picture yourself in a classroom, put their pictures on there, and you can see how all of these people form this globalist, this What would you call it? It would be this attempted takedown of a republic to fundamentally change our representative republic. And that, of course, goes for Obama. And Clinton, of course, would have gone through the other 8 years and really nailed the coffin shut. But all of that said, this is what we're seeing. Now, some of the smaller pieces that we've seen, that we're seeing right now. And this is important to understand, too, because I had mentioned, I had gotten a lot of emails on this, and please feel free to email me. I read all of my emails, every single one. I'm going to be having Eric the Tech put up a personal email to me in this program. So watch for that. Hopefully that'll be done today. I'll make sure that that is done today. But in the meanwhile, feel free to email me, studio@Hagmann, H-A-G-M-A-N-N, and Hagmann.com. For comments about the show, I read every single one. I can't respond to everyone simply because of the volume. I wouldn't be able to read everyone if I responded to everyone. But please, please feel free to email me with your thoughts and your ideas. Now, one thing that happened over the weekend, and if you and look, I understand, you know, people, personalities, sometimes, well, I don't like this person. I like this person. I don't like this person. I like this, you know, the dynamics of the interpersonal dynamics in the world of the media, or should I say the honest media. It's sometimes, you know, it's a challenge. I admit it too. I mean, sometimes we have guests on we don't agree with on our flagship show, and sometimes we have guests on that our personalities don't mesh. But does that water down the message? No, of course not. Of course not. The message is there, and that's what we're focused on. That's what I'm focused on, is the message. It's not about it's not about any one of us. It's about really what's going on, because what's going on right now is bigger than any one of us. Okay, moving forward here. It was interesting yesterday. Alex Jones was on with Lee Stranahan talking about the defamation suit filed by Georgetown. Why am I bringing this up in the context of this show? Because when you see, if you didn't get a chance to listen to or watch InfoWars, perhaps you don't watch InfoWars. That's fine. But what is taking place here is so critically important for everyone to understand. Because like I said last week on this program, you may find, in fact on the flagship show as well, you may find yourself in the very same position despite not having a worldwide broadcast or platform. Simply just having a Twitter account or a Facebook account, you could find yourself in the very same position as Jones and others, having to defend against something maybe you sent in a tweet or in a Facebook post. But you might say, well, wait, I'm very careful. I never accuse anybody of anything, or I never get personal, or it doesn't matter. It could be a retweet. It could be a reposting of an article, and you could find yourself in a position to defend yourself. Now, you may think, well, yeah, okay, good, fine, I'll win. You know, you can beat your chest, you know, push your chest out and beat your chest and say, I'll win. It doesn't matter. But see, it's not about winning to these people. It's about inflicting the financial and chaotic damage to you. That's the tactic in and of itself. It's the infliction of financial damage to you. Alex Jones did a great job, as did Lee Stranahan. I don't know how many people are familiar with Lee Stranahan, citizen school journalism school out there. He had Lee Stranahan on yesterday, and they're talking about the defamation lawsuit against Jones and Stranahan related to their tweets, postings, and articles and discussion about the Charlottesville chaos. Not the incident itself, but the chaos. And the reason I bring this up is because that piece that they did, and I, to a lesser extent, I was a part of this as a guest on Alex Jones's program, didn't get directly involved in this, but I did in other matters that will come up. But here's what I'm trying to say. The reason for example, Alex Jones and Lee Stranahan and even former Congressman Alan B. West find themselves as defendants in this case. And the reason that this has been being written up in Huffington Post and Slate and other locations, especially the liberal locations, is very simply this. The intent here is not to fight Alex Jones or Lee Stranahan or Alan B. West on the facts. The intent here is to silence them, as much like the intent is to silence me personally and our platform collectively. It's not about fighting the facts, or it's not about saying I've been wronged. It's an attempt to shut us down. How does this fit in with McCabe firing, with the exposing of the various criminal cabals? There's no way right now, with the way things are unfolding, that the progressive left, the liberal fascists, can stop the exposure of the criminality of the last, really, half century, but focusing on the last decade. There's no way that these liberal fascists can stop the exposure of the criminal actions conducted by the liberal fascists. They can't do it by facts. They cannot do it in any other way other than taking away the platforms by which InfoWars, the Hagman Report, the Doug Hagman Radio Show, Lee Stranahan's channel, Alan B. West platform. Insert the name of the platform here, for instance. There's no way that they can refute the facts. So what they are attempting to do is unplug the microphone. It's really as simple as that. And in the process of unplugging the microphone, because that is a process by itself, their intent is to distract and create chaos within the organizations. Financial chaos. Big deal. Okay, a huge deal. Financial chaos. To create discord. And if we all stand firm against these tactics, we can prevail. But notice this has only gotten, it's only reached its crescendo with the recent exposure of people like McCabe, of issues such as Uranium One, of the real time and the honest-to-goodness real exposure and the real clear and present danger to the freedom and liberty of some of these progressive liberals when their freedom is really at stake. Because I'll explain this. McCabe, for example, look, he's got more to worry about than his pension. It's his freedom that he's got to worry about. So there is a symbiotic relationship between those attempting to shut down the outlets like ours, like my voice, and yours. Notice how Facebook and Twitter began censoring your posts. You've been shadow banned. I'm talking to many people now. Notice when you start talking about certain issues, you fall into a different category. So this is extremely, extremely important to understand. We are winning on the factual basis, on this factual war. We are prevailing. We are getting this information out to the American public. We are changing the minds of people who have otherwise been numbed and held captive by the corporate mass media. So this is why it's so important. And in my conversations with the attorneys, and just I'll just say this. When we come out, and we are, and I've said this before, but I really want to drive this point home, we are coming out with not a reaction but a response. And every single individual that has made their attempts to shut us down will be involved in a process of having to account for what they said, what they did, and what they are doing. So I'm uplifted by that, and I'm uplifted by the support we've received. and I can speak for Steve Quayle in this instance as well, because Steve's been on the receiving end of this as well. Both Steve Quayle and myself. And I'm not talking out of school here. It's well known that they've attempted to shut Steve Quayle down. They've attempted to ruin his business. And that's the other part of this too. If you are a business owner, or let's say you're in a managerial position, or you're just simply, maybe you're self-employed, it doesn't matter. They will go after your business. There are many facets to this battle, and it's all about the information. It's all about you saying, you providing the real information out there as to what's taking place. Again, they cannot fight you on the facts. They cannot defend themselves factually or with any intellectual honesty. Not that they would try at this point, but nonetheless. So what can they do? They can unplug the microphone, kind of like Reagan did, or, you know, would think back to Ronald Reagan. I've paid for this microphone. So, remember, and I'm paraphrasing from, of course, one of his campaign appearances, or one of the debate appearances. Now, having said all of that, again, there's a symbiotic relationship, a very dynamic relationship that exists between the information coming out and the blowback that we're receiving, and the blowback that you're receiving. So I want to assure each and every one of you, each and every one who has supported us through this and is supporting us, we're not only looking out for ourselves, we are looking out for every single person that's in this position as well. Because we are going to be blazing, and we are blazing, new trails litigiously as well as practically, to keep your voice protected, to keep that First and, quite frankly, the Second Amendment, to keep the honor there, that we honor both the First and Second Amendment, that we keep them intact, not just for you and for me, but for our offspring, for the generations to come. Because this is an attack against the First and Second Amendment, and even the Fourth Amendment. But I don't want to get too deep down that road. I do want to address the main issue, and that is what is taking place at the FBI, DOJ level with McCabe, with Comey. This is so incredibly important. Right now, we are on the cusp of a second special counsel being appointed, which I believe it will be. I believe that once the Inspector General's report comes out, I believe it is now scheduled to come out in April. The call for the unredacted versions of the underlying documents that for issues we've seen here up to this point. When all of this hits, brace yourself, brace for impact, because we are going to see even more incredible blowback from this. Blowback like we've never seen before in our lives. What has taken place over the last 8 years, and even if I can narrow this down a little bit more, over the last 2 years, what we've seen, ever since Donald Trump announced his candidacy, and really, especially since he was the presumptive nominee, what we saw was a pattern of behavior that exists today, still exists today, a pattern of behavior by deep state operatives who want to overthrow the results of the election, who want to take Donald Trump out, but all for what? Because they don't like Donald Trump? Well, that's part of it, but they don't like the American people. They don't like us. If you don't live inside... Now, I'm not talking about all of you. Please understand this. But if you don't live inside the urban areas, you know, like Miami or Los Angeles or New York City or San Francisco, if you don't have that urban mentality, that globalist mentality, you are the enemy. So over the last two, and Donald Trump represents the true American heartland psyche, if you will, the average American person, the man like you and I. We put our pants on in the morning, we go to work, we work hard, we go home, and sometimes we still work. The individuals who believe in the biblical family, in the traditional family, who believe that murdering of unborn is wrong, who believe that that homosexual marriage is not a right, who believe in the nuclear family, who believe in morality. We obviously are the enemy here. So understand that this is bigger than all of us. It's not about any one person, any one platform. This is a war on a very large scale, and the parts of the war, the battles that are being fought, are now coming to a head. And we saw that this past weekend, this past Friday, with the firing of Andrew McCabe. And what that portends, what that is ominous, it's a very ominous thing in a good way. It is now going to start the cascade of events that will blow the criminal cabal wide open. Now, I want to explain this because it's not that difficult to understand, but it's a complex case. Police officers listening to this, detectives listening to this, you could take, in fact, I'm sure many police officers or detectives, for example, you have a homicide. You can have a simple, pretty straightforward homicide, or you could have a complex homicide or a complex fraud case. And generally speaking, the majority of fraud cases are not that complex, but then you get the embezzlement fraud cases that shell accounts and such. Well, this is a complex case where the firing, the termination of Andrew McCabe is just one element of a very deep and complex case. It's not hard. It's not difficult to understand, but it's got many moving parts to it, and I want to get into that right now. So that's kind of my opening statement, if you will. And if you've listened to me this far, please listen right through the end, because I think when I tie this up, when I tie all of this together, you're going to see exactly how this is all playing out and how it will play out in the coming months, depending on how things go. But I think we've got a pretty good handle on the intent, at least the intent of the white hats in government, and the anticipated reaction by the people in power, the permanent bureaucracy that's a representative of the deep state, how they will react and how this will play out. So again, complex, but not necessarily overly difficult to understand. Now, we must be clear as to how we got here, and really that's the most important aspect. You have the deep state, have the deep state, past and present tense, working to change our representative republic. Here's the big picture: change our country from a representative republic with a constitution and a bill of rights into a communist utopia. I know people find that very difficult to really comprehend, but this is about the top 1%, if you will, the criminals, in my view, in government, wanting to control the entire nation, basically in the entire world. But how we got here, of course, you had the Obama selection and placement into office. And of course, it was a big PR campaign, which allowed him to win the vote. And there were some irregularities with respect to the vote. I'm not going to get into that. But nonetheless, he found himself in office. And who is Obama? Well, that goes back, and I've said this before, it goes back to the fact that we really don't know who Obama really is, except to say that maybe to classify him as a Muslim Marxist would be on target. So you've got him in office making changes. He weaponized the Department of Justice and the FBI. He weaponized the IRS. He's weaponized numerous government institutions. He put in individuals within government, appointed individuals, whether they're federal judges, Supreme Court judges, or others in other places, in order to facilitate the takedown of our government. That's the bigger picture. And expected, fully expected, of course, in 2016, that election to have Hillary Clinton finish the job. As much as they really despised one another, their goals were the same. So that's the bigger picture. So in the in the planning of this, in the operational aspect of this, you have the FBI working, of course, to plug the holes, the leaks of the criminality conducted by Hillary Clinton, by the Clinton Foundation, by others as well, including members within the Obama regime. So the FBI was running this defense, and it was facilitated by corrupting our venerated agencies like the FBI, like the Department of Justice, because without justice in our nation, what do we have? We don't have anything. And if you've got a two-tiered justice system, or justice for some but not for all, then our representative republic doesn't work. So you've got the weaponization of the FBI. And from this weaponization of the FBI, now you've got some white hats who are coming out and saying, hey, look, this is what's been happening. This is where we're at today. And we have had now we see the members, certain members of Congress, along with the Inspector General and even the Office of Professional Management or Responsibility, I'm sorry, OPR, within the FBI, a highly apolitical group, saying, no, this is totally wrong with respect to McCabe. Now, with respect to McCabe, Andrew McCabe, you open that can, you will find inside that can, inside that bucket, shall we say, that involves McCabe, you will find the wrongdoings, the criminal elements that involve Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, James Comey, and others. You strike at that chord, or you strike at that specific target and hit that target, open that can up, and a lot comes out. And what is going to be coming out from this is absolutely incredible information, information that the American public, although the vast majority of American people have expected this, I don't believe that they're prepared for the entirety, prepared for the level of corruption. You've got we're looking at one aspect here, but an element that includes, or I'm trying to provide this overview of how everything is coming together to provide you with this mosaic, this picture, where you have the FBI was participating in a plan to exonerate Hillary Clinton, of course, in preparation of her presidency here in this country. Meanwhile, the FBI was also conducting opposition research on Donald Trump and members of his campaign team. And those FBI officials were allied by entities outside of official government structures. The outside group were contractors. Now, this is stated very succinctly by, again, I reference site Sundance at Conservative Treehouse often, explains it well. And of those outside group of contractors, you have Fusion GPS. When you start following the money of Fusion GPS, who hired them? Well, you can see members on both the right and the left on the political spectrum, but primarily the liberal fascists who really refined the tactics and the information. And the contractors were using FBI intelligence databases to conduct opposition research, to conduct searches on Donald Trump and his campaign officials, as a private citizen and candidate, as a president-elect, and even past that, as president. And this is where, again, as noted by Conservative Treehouse and Sundance, this is where the use of the FISA 702s, the queries come in to play. The FISA abuse that was allowed, this FISA abuse was the allowed but unofficial process identified back in 2016 by NSA internal auditors. Remember I've spoken about Mike Rogers, where he said, hey, we can't have this. This is wrong. And, of course, remember what Admiral Mike Rogers did. He met with Donald Trump at Trump Tower. The following day, the entire transition team moved from Trump Tower to the golf course in New Jersey. Why? And that, of course, put Mike Rogers in the potential to be fired. I mean, because he spilled the beans on the criminality of the process. So at that point, remember, Mike Rogers had told Donald Trump, look, you're under surveillance. I mean, the taps are deep and are many against Carter Page. Mike Flynn, for example, I mean, it was just absolutely mind-blowing. But after NSA Director Admiral Mike Rogers stepped in back on April 18th of 2016 and stopped the FBI contractors from having any further access, stopped Fusion GPS. What did the deep state do? What did they do? They had to do an end around because they no longer had access to FBI intelligence databases. They needed something different. They needed a different tactic. This is where Bruce Orr comes in and Nellie Orr come into play. It was in May of 2016. Not a coincidence when U.S. District Court Judge Rudolph Contreras, remember I spoke about him before, he became a member of the FISA court. And Contreras was friends with Peter Strzok. You see how this is all playing out. Now, that's the FBI / FISA abuse part, and that's where McCabe fits into this. But then you've got the DOJ side. You had John Carlin heading the National Security Division at the Department of Justice. The Department of Justice is separated into various departments. The National Security Division is one of those departments. By the way, the National Security Division is the only division which is not covered by an inspector general, by the oversight of an inspector general. Just keep that in the back of your mind. But what the Department of Justice and the National Security Division did was they inserted, or what happened was, as part of the main justice, and I say these terms quickly, but you've got the Department of Justice, the main floor of the Department of Justice, the number one and number two people. Well, Bruce Orr was number four at main justice, and his wife is Nellie Orr. So they inserted Nellie Orr into Fusion GPS as an employee. Nellie Orr was hired by Fusion GPS right after Michael Rogers, right after Admiral Rogers shut down the FBI contractor use of the system. They short-circuited what Admiral Rogers did. He put a stop to this. Hey, Fusion GPS can't use our databases. So what did the deep state do? They put Nellie Orr, Bruce Orr's wife, number four justice, into Fusion GPS. I've spoken about this at length in previous programs. Go back and listen to the previous programs. I don't want to get too deep here, but the problem was that any information from within the FISA searches at that point could not be directly used by the FBI because they would likely have to explain how they got it. Because the NSA under Admiral Mike Rogers put a stop to it. So then enter Christopher Steele. This is where Fusion GPS hired retired British MI6 officer Christopher Steele to obtain or seemingly obtain the information that Fusion GPS was getting directly from the Department of Justice. But they had to launder this intelligence product. So Christopher Steele would be the launderer of the intelligence information pulled from the system. And you had unauthorized FISA 702 warrants. The results therein passed on to Christopher Steele, most likely, in my professional opinion, and this is echoed by, again, Sundance Conservative Treehouse, most likely passed on by Nellie Orr. Steele would then wash the intelligence product, repackage it into what became known as that dossier, pack it and pass it back to the FBI small group of individuals as evidence for use in their counterintelligence operation, which began in earnest back in July of 2016. And again, this under the heading of the National Security Division, and this is so important to understand, in the Department of Justice, various departments, National Security Division, not subjected to internal oversight by the Inspector General. They had to do it this way. They had to do it this way because this was the only department that wasn't subjected to internal oversight. This is the larger picture here. And now it's all coming out. The unmaskings, the leaks, everything was an attempt and still is an attempt to overthrow Donald Trump. That's the takeaway from this. It's the attempt to overthrow Donald Trump, to overthrow and undermine the will of the American people and to fundamentally change our country, our nation, from a representative republic into this communist utopia so sought by the globalists, not just here in the United States, but everywhere. Getting back to my opening part, the reason I brought in, I started off with talking about what Alex Jones talked about with Lee Stranahan, the lawsuits. They have to tamp the exposure down. They have to shut the deep state cannot allow this information to get out. So what do? Those people who are talking about this, specifically attempting to present this information to the American public, they've got to shut us up. So the one of the tactics, and now this, they found that, okay, we just can't unplug them. Well, we can, but you saw the blowback. So now we're going to do kind of a hybrid maneuver here, and we are going to use the judicial system or the court system, more specifically or more accurately, the system to file lawsuits against people like Jones and Stranahan and West and Doug Hagman, and to shut them up, because we can't afford, they're too close over the target. We got to shut them up. We got to take away their platform. This is what's going on. And see, you will enter into this arena whether you like it or not, whether you want to or not, when you start speaking the truth and posting the truth on social networkings, on your websites or whatever, you're going to be brought into this. Please understand me when I tell you this. Again, this is not about me. This is not about us. This is about getting the truth out there. See the bigger picture. They cannot fight the facts. They cannot do anything more to hide the criminality that's being exposed incrementally. We're at war, so this is how they're having to fight. That's how this all fits together. And I mentioned the symbiotic relationship. We were flying into the flak, into the explosions. That's where we're going, in so doing, providing the information of the corruption. They can't take us out any other way. So this is now the way they're doing it. That's why I brought this to your attention. And that's why we all need to support one another, each one of us who is bringing out this information and who is under attack. We've got to come together and support each other, because without that, we could be dead in the water. If you don't have the suppressive fire on your behalf, it's a dangerous place to be in. So that's what this is all about. Now, very specific now, moving very specific to McCabe and how this is going to affect everything. In addition to everything else, I had everyone here go through all sorts of audio clips and from the Sunday programs and those speaking about the McCabe firing. And what I was looking for was a very narrow set of talking points. I did find one audio segment that I believe defines where we're at right now. And of all of the people involved in this process, in the exposure of this process, Chairman Bob Goodlatte would probably be the best source of this information. So we were looking at different segments, audio segments from Chairman Goodlatte. We found one with Maria Bartolomeo, And this is about 10 minutes in length. It's long, but it's necessary to lay down the groundwork. And in this audio segment, if you listen to exactly to what he is saying, you will see, and I think it will become clear to everyone where this is headed. The IG report coming out in April. The fact that a prosecutor is working in tandem with the inspector general. The fact that Comey now, because McCabe was fired on Friday night, he threw a series of Twitter remarks. He essentially threw Comey under the bus, essentially admitted that Comey lied under oath, while he himself lied under oath. To explain this better than I could, and I've gone through this audio clip several times. I'm going to have it played now. Please listen carefully to this interview between Maria Bartiromo and Chairman Bob Goodlatte. Listen carefully to this, and then I'll wrap it all up right after this. But this is about 10 minutes in length. Yeah, pay attention. There's no wasted words here. Go ahead and run that clip.
And the top story of the weekend, former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe breaking his silence following his firing by Attorney General Jeff Sessions on Friday night. McCabe claiming his dismissal is part of an attack on the FBI and on the Mueller-Russia investigation. Meanwhile, we are also learning that McCabe kept notes on his interactions with the president, similar to the memos kept by former FBI Director James Comey. Joining me right now is House Judiciary Committee Chairman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia. Mr. Chairman, good to have you on the program this morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning, Maria. Good to be with you and your viewers.
Your reaction to the firing of Andrew McCabe?
Well, I think the Attorney General did the right thing. It was the appropriate decision, given the reports of his having leaked internal information to the media and then giving false information about that, misleading information to those investigating the matter. These are very serious concerns, and they tie into the overall concern about how the FBI handled investigations into the elections last year. So the steps are appropriate.
Now, there are a lot of pushback posts and tweets this weekend from the left. Let's go through the fireable offenses here and why specifically Andrew McCabe was fired. We know that the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility recommended that McCabe be fired. They cited findings from the Justice Department's Inspector General report, which is going to be made public, we understand, in April. McCabe made unauthorized disclosure to the news media. He ordered the disclosure of information to the Wall Street Journal about an ongoing investigation into the Clinton Foundation. He lacked candor under oath on multiple occasions, was not forthcoming, and in the end violated Justice Department policies. How did he lack candor? Is this suggesting he lied under oath?
Well, again, we won't know until we see the Inspector General's report and hear other information, but lacking candor definitely suggests that he gave false information to those investigating the matter.
You have been investigating the FBI along with the Oversight Committee and Trey Gowdy, investigating the FBI and its handling of the Clinton email scandal. We know that there are 1.2 million pages of texts. How many of those texts, those documents, have you seen?
Yeah, there are more than texts. There are other documents as well in the 1.2 million, but we've only seen a tiny percentage of that. And that's regrettable because, quite frankly, while the work of the Inspector General is important and we're looking forward to seeing his report, his responsibilities and the Congress's responsibilities in conducting oversight over the nation's most important premier law enforcement organization is also important. And we need to have those documents. The department and the bureau have been slow, I would say now very slow, in getting them to us. The last time I was on your program, I expressed confidence that we would have those documents forthcoming. And here we are several weeks later, still don't have them. So this is coming to a head.
Congressman, let's be clear. There are 1.2 million documents. You've only seen 3,000 of them. You've been stonewalled for 5 months.
We have seen some documents. We've seen more than we saw from the Obama administration Justice Department, but we need more documents, and we need them now, and we need them unredacted, by the way, Maria. These latest revelations about Peter Strzok and Lisa Page talking about a federal judge, a Judge Contreras, who was appointed to serve on the FISA court. And they're talking back and forth about how good that is and how Peter Strzok needs to be catching up with him and talking to him. That was made available to us earlier in a redacted form. And it was only just recently that we had the opportunity to see that text unredacted. That clearly does not draw any conclusion about what that judge and Peter Strzok may have done or not done, but it's clearly material to what was going on in the FBI regarding how they were treating this court.
So again, let's be clear here. Normally, when there are redactions, they redact things because they are a point of national security. But in fact, what was redacted, because then you saw the unredacted material, was text about going to a cocktail party with this FISA judge, Judge Contreras.
That's correct, and that's information that's material to the investigation. Not drawing any conclusions about it,
but
we should know it. That's correct.
Let me ask you, because we're all waiting on the Michael Horowitz IG report, sir, but we know that Michael Horowitz does not have subpoena power. You do have subpoena power. If you keep getting stonewalled and you don't get these documents, are you going to subpoena these documents?
Well, the answer is yes, and as I say, the whole matter is coming to a head. We've had communications with the Department of Justice about this, and they know that not just myself and Chairman Gowdy, but many other members of the House are very concerned about the slow nature of those documents being produced. And as I say, action's going to have to take a new level here very soon.
So again, if you don't get the documents that you have been asking for several months, more than 5 months, you will subpoena those documents from the FBI?
We will.
Okay. Let me ask you what went on here, sir, because people are wondering why there is such a pushback from the left. In fact, John Brennan, former head of the CIA himself, came out this weekend and pushed back aggressively the firing of Andrew McCabe. We have his tweet here, and here's what he says to the president: when the full extent of your venality, moral turpitude, and political corruption becomes known, you will take your rightful place as disgraced demagogue in the dustbin of history. You may scapegoat Andy McCabe, but you will not destroy America. America will triumph under you. I'm wondering about Brennan. Wasn't he working for a time at the CIA under President Obama when some of this took place? Is he involved?
Well, we don't know that, but his statement is clearly overwrought. The fact of the matter is, both Republicans and Democrats should be concerned about the actions taking place in the Federal Bureau of Investigation in 2016 and in 2017. If I were a Democrat, I would want to know why it is that Andrew McCabe was leaking to the Wall Street Journal about the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton investigation, not about Donald Trump. If I were a Democrat, I'd want to know why James Comey, 10 days before the election, announced that he was reopening that investigation. He announced it publicly. It may have had an impact on the election. And therefore, while Republicans are very concerned about his original decision and how that came about not to indict former Secretary of State Clinton, it should be equally concerning to Democrats that the manner was conducted the way it was conducted. So there is a serious problem with several people who were, and I'm thankful to say are no longer, but were at the head of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It needs to be investigated. It needs to be investigated by an outside independent special counsel, and that's why Chairman Gowdy and I conveyed to Attorney General Sessions just last week our belief that it's very important that the Attorney General appoint a special counsel to begin by looking into the manner in which FISA warrants were obtained by the FBI.
Well, you make a really important point, Congressman, because the Inspector General cannot subpoena or speak to or interview anyone who's no longer at the FBI. So that limits what he can actually do, which is why you've sent a letter to the Attorney General last week asking him to appoint a second special counsel. Have you heard back from Jeff Sessions yet on this?
We have not heard back directly, but we were pleased to see that he stated publicly in response to questions that he was taking the request seriously. And I'm also pleased that a number of other individuals, including four prominent senators led by Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley, later also joined us in calling for the appointment of a special counsel. I've been told by many people, including some who were skeptical about the earlier call that I and others in the House made for the appointment of special counsel, now agree that because that counsel has powers separate and apart from the department and the bureau,
right,
and because they can look into matters that go beyond the department. There are allegations about things going on in the State Department as well. So this is an important thing that needs to be looked at in a serious manner by someone with independence and subpoena power and prosecutorial power.
Mr. Chairman, I want to ask you about what Andrew McCabe said after he was fired this weekend. And he said that he had, quote, authority to share information with the press with the knowledge of the director. That statement is entirely inconsistent with Comey's May 2017 congressional testimony, which obviously was under oath, when he was asked, have you ever authorized anyone to be an anonymous source in news reports about the Trump or Clinton investigations? He said, no, never. Does that create perjury for Jim Comey?
Well, I don't want to reach that conclusion because I'm not sure which of them is telling the truth. However, it creates a clear conflict in Mr. McCabe's statement and Mr. Comey's sworn testimony. And that, again, is one more reason why an independent counsel needs to look into this matter. And I say this because, as we said at the outset, the FBI...
Stop it right there. Now, that clip goes on for a few more minutes, but I'm going to stop it right there. Because here are the takeaways from this. This is so critically important for everyone to understand. First of all, the audio clip laid out the fireable offenses, lying under oath, however they want to couch it. They lied. Both McCabe and Comey lied. Second of all, the pointing the fingers at James Comey as being a complicit figure in this. Thirdly, the recognition that the deep state is still in control of many of the back workings of allowing information to come forward, actually in contempt of Congress to the extent where they're not providing the information. Number four, the fact that this audio segment brought out the FISA abuse. Rudy Contreras, remember I spoke about Contreras' recusal in a previous program. And then, of course, number five, I.G. Horowitz, the subpoena power, the secondary special counsel, all of this, the fact that there is a prosecutor working with Horowitz, this will come out once a secondary special counsel is brought forward and established. They already have the information they're asking for. This is all structuring, posturing to prepare the American public for what is coming. And sixth, of course, Brennan, his role along with the Department of State. All of these points in this one audio segment, which is why it's so critical. Now, Goodlatte goes on to praise the FBI, and of course, the interview does go on, and you can find this online. But the fact of the matter is this. What we're seeing right now is the dismantling of the deep state under Donald Trump, and how this is going to play out, you will see people at, and it's interesting as well, the Clinton Foundation was brought into this, and how they handled the Clinton email scandal, if you will, the Clinton email criminal aspects, the server aspects of this. This is all coming out, and this will all be addressed, again, by the Inspector General, but under the oversight of a secondary special counsel. Prepare for this. But the response from the left on the social, via social media, and also the comments by Brennan, pay very close attention to this because we're in very dangerous territory. Brennan's talking, Brennan's threatening. And you've got essentially the deep state, CIA, threatening our president and, of course, our liberties. What an incredibly explosive audio clip, and I'm sure Goodlatte was pulling some of his punches there. Again, contact me if you'd like, studio@hagmanandhagman.com. I read all of your comments. Please, if you like this program, share it with others. Look at the big picture. We're in interesting times.
The Doug Hagman Radio Show is brought to you by The Hagman Report. Tune in to The Hagman Report weekdays, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. For more information, go to HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com.